Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Friday Views brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. You already know the deal. Like, subscribe, share with your friends. My name is Iman, and I'm joined by my Dishes and Dimes co-host, Sandy. Sandra, what's up?
Hey, y'all. I finally managed to finesse myself onto this show, so I hopefully I'm not kicked off and you never see me again.
Oh, please. Never happening. We have so much to talk about today. Like, the trade deadline was today. We can get into that, but before we do, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Rockets and Raptors game that just happened. The Rockets, weirdly a team that did not make a move. I thought that they would with Christian Wood and Eric Gordon. I was hoping that the Raptors would find their way into finessing Eric Gordon away from the Houston Rockets, but that didn't happen. And the Raptors just squared off with them. What were your thoughts on that game?
I expected them to win, so it wasn't necessarily a surprise. That's mm-hmm. a game that they have to win given the run that they've been on, but Pascal's been spectacular. Gary's been spectacular. The bench even looked like semi like competent, which was weird. Like, I've just gotten so used to no bench or like one bench player playing like 5 minutes maybe, and then the rest of the starters just like, you know, forcing their way through the game. But you know, they were kind of competent today. You know, Malachi actually made some shots. You know, Boucher did Boucher things. I didn't necessarily think he would still be on the team, but you know, he did what he needed to do today. Utah, like, I'm just running down the line. Like, I don't have complaints about this game. Like, I don't. I mean, they had a few lapses where their defense was trash, and you know, but I mean, that's to be expected.
But you know what? You win.
They played down to their competition. So
you mentioned it. Like, the starters were fantastic, and I feel like anytime the five starters are good for 100 points, right? Yeah. And the Raptors scored 139. How did they do that? Well, their bench contributed 39 points. That's it right there, yeah. Right? And the starters are good for 100 points. We say that, but this is without Fred VanVleet being able to do that. And that's because Gary Trent Jr. had 42 points. You mentioned that he was spectacular. And Pascal Siakam had 30 points himself. So just phenomenal output from these guys. Yeah. And the bench. And the bench really does need to step up. We're going to talk about it in just a little bit, especially with the move that was made at the deadline. These are guys that are going to need to step up. You're going to need to see this contribution from Chris Boucher moving forward. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to want to get paid. So we're going to see more nights like this, hopefully. Malachi, Delano, these are guys who really did contribute and step up today. Defense, horrendous. Not a thing.
At all. Like, what was happening there? Like, I didn't understand. After the first quarter, it was just like, how much points do the Rockets have? And why are they hitting all these threes? Like,
they had 41 in the first quarter.
Like, that's insane. That is insane. So yeah, no, that was fun. But I really just enjoyed watching Pascal have like 5 in the first quarter and then decide, okay, you know what, I'm better than this, and like scored 19 in the second. That was wonderful. And it was kind of a relief, because I feel like a lot of the time last season, if he had a bad start, not that it was necessarily a bad start, he was just, he was a little slow. But last season when he would have a bad start, he would literally just mentally be out of the game for the rest of the game. He just really couldn't get himself there. And it's been nice to see him, you know, maybe start a little slow and kind of turn it up when he needs to. And then again, like in the fourth quarter, for the amount of time that he played, like his defense was spectacular. So like Pascal's looking all NBA right now, and I just have no complaints, really.
He really is. He's so much fun to watch because you're right. Like he got into his head, and I think now he probably knows he's unguardable. When Pascal wants a bucket, he can go get a bucket, which is just so incredible and rare to see. And Gary, what, like, can you even say Gary had his 42 points, his season high? Unstoppable. And it was fun watching them kind of take their turns, right? Like they were picking their moments. Pascal said, I'm gonna take the second quarter, and Gary said, bet, I got the second half. Right. And it's incredible to watch, because earlier on in the season, if Fred VanVleet didn't play, the Raptors had no offense. That was it.
There
was no way for them to generate offense. Now the Houston Rockets are not world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. There was none defense played tonight, but it felt like you didn't need to play defense on the Raptors. They just couldn't score. That's kind of the story of earlier on in the season. So their ability to do that today was a lot of fun to watch. And having as many guys contribute to it was so necessary, because we're heading into the second part of the year. And we know what this team is now moving forward. Of course, there's still the buyout market, but we know what this team is right now moving forward. And they're definitely going to need these bench players to step up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm really comfortable with our starting five. Like, I think they're going to make a lot of noise, but I want them to get there. I want them to get to the playoffs. And we do have an easier schedule coming up. You know, you can kind of rest them a little bit, as opposed to having to play, you know, Miami and God knows who else.
They don't have the Lakers back in half of the year schedule. My gosh.
God, that was like a horrible schedule. You know, they now have the opportunity to take a couple minutes to rest. So the bench is really going to have to step up, you know, and I hope they can do that.
I think it was you who mentioned that the Lakers back half of the schedule is always front loaded because the national televised games. And then also they're on the road a ton because the Grammys and whatever it gets hosted at Staples or Crypto, whatever it's called, or just like LA gets really busy around award season. And so the Lakers find themselves on the road quite a bit. So they always have a really tough schedule at this point. And this is probably a benefit for the Raptors that they don't get nationally televised games, because now it's easy in the second half of the season, as opposed to having a difficult run here. All right. So let's get into what everybody wants to know about the trade. You know, we've talked a little bit about it. We've been talking around it. So the Toronto Raptors traded for Thaddeus Young, Drew Eubanks, and the 2022 Pistons second rounder for Goran Dragic and the Raptors first rounder of this year that is lottery protected. And then shortly after, they waived Drew Eubanks. So right now, the team has Thad Young and the 2022 Pistons second round pick, and gave up their first rounder in Goran Dragic. What are your thoughts on the deal?
Thaddeus Young is a veteran. He can kind of help bolster the bench. You know, he's averaging something like 12 points a game. So I'm not mad at it. I think he will be able to, you know, give a little boost where we need it. And it's a short-term contract. So if he doesn't play up to what they're expecting, they offload the contract in the summer. And if he does, then the Raptors likely pay him a fraction of what he's being paid now. So in that regard, it's kind of a win-win until they're able to acquire a player they really want to. I feel like with a move like this, a small, maybe not long-term move like this, maybe Masai has something, you know, up his sleeve for what he's actually really looking for moving forward. So I was surprised. You know, I was expecting a little bit more for sure. I definitely thought we would get a big finally, and to find out that we have another 6'8" guy. I can't lie. I was pained a little bit. It took me a minute to be like, okay, yeah, no, I kind of see where they're going with this. I think I've warmed up to it, because I do think that he'll be a good solid piece for the bench, and you know, we need the bench right now to kind of help the team move forward, so you know, we're not all injured before the playoffs.
I'm with you. One of my favorite things is just like, especially like NBA media, like outside of the Toronto Raptors, it seems like all year, or for like a while, it's like, okay, well, are they going to trade Pascal Siakam? Are they going to trade OG Anunoby? They've got too many of the same guys. The Raptors team is built really flawed. They keep doubling up on the same person. And the Raptors are like, oh yeah, no, in the offseason, we're going to get Precious Achiuwa. And at the draft, we're going to pick Scottie Barnes. And at the trade deadline, we're going to take Thaddeus Young. Like, the Raptors went out there and just got what they already had at home. You know what I mean? It's like when you and your mom go shopping, she's like, we already have that at home. You're not going to pick that up. It's like, no, the Raptors were like, yeah, no, we got that at home, but we want some more of it. It's fun. I love it. I love that they're doubling down on this, because this is the team. And sometimes it's frustrating to watch. I mean, we talked about it, especially early on in the season when their defense really wasn't clicking. And obviously there are nights like tonight as well where it's not clicking.
Yeah.
But we saw it with how many, whether it be open corner threes that they would give up, or the lack of rim protection and different things like that. We saw a lot of the holes. But it's the Raptors are like, we're doubling down on this. It will get better. We are starting a rookie. We're working Pascal Siakam back. This is the team that we want, and we're going to continue to do it, which I found really interesting. And I, you mentioned the pick, and I kind of agree with you in that, like, oof, we had to give up a pick. It kind of felt like a lot, but getting that 2022 Pistons second rounder, I think really spells that this front office believes in this team. And that was something that me and Yasmin talked about a couple of weeks ago on here, where if the Raptors make a move at the deadline, it probably means that they believe in this team. The Raptors giving up their first round pick for the Pistons second round pick means that they believe in this team.
That's a good point.
They believe in this core. They believe in what they can do this year. And I'm less worried about the pick, because one, I trust Masai Ujiri and I trust Bobby Webster, and I trust that they do their due diligence, and they probably really don't believe there's much of a difference in getting the 20th pick in this draft versus getting the 31st or the 32nd pick in this draft, because it's not like you have given up your pick entirely. You're still getting the Pistons second rounder, and the Pistons are poised to be what, the worst, second worst, third worst team in the league. So you're still going to get a pick in the high 30s. So maybe they believe that whoever they're probably circling around the mid-20s is still going to be there around the mid-30s, and you're only going back about 10 spots. So I'm not too mad at it, but I agree, it always feels a little bit steep when you find out that a team is giving up draft picks. Unless you're the Brooklyn Nets, who get draft picks in their deal and already are trying to shop them, like that report from Woj.
Crazy.
Made me laugh, because I'm like, oh my, like, imagine being a Nets or a Clippers and just not at all considering draft picks. That's not the place that the Raptors are in now. You talked a lot about Thad Young and his fit, and I want to get into that a little bit more. But before we do, the Raptors also gave up Goran Dragic. Do you have any favorite memories or a parting wish for Goran before he goes?
I was happy to see that Woj bomb. That's the happiest I've been since he got on the scene. Like, bye.
Long farewell to your friend.
Like, enjoy the Mavs or wherever the hell you're gonna end up. I could care less. You know, I would have given him up for a bag of chips. It's irrelevant to me at this point.
I love it.
So I'm just happy he's off the team. He's not miserable. We're not miserable.
Was not miserable. He was enjoying his time in Miami. Now he's got to go to work. Now he needs a job.
Yeah, he actually has
he
to
has
work.
To clock in.
Oh my god.
Favorite memory of Goran while he was here?
That like 5 minute stint where he actually played and he was like on the bench yelling at people like he was a leader of the team. That
Udonis Haslem cosplay by Goran Dragic right there.
That was wonderful. Thanks for the leadership, Goran. We appreciate it.
I love it. My favorite Goran Dragic memory comes from, of course, Game 7, where the Raptors beat the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Kyle goes off for 35 points, and Goran Dragic has 16 points on 17 shots, 0 for 5 from 3, and was a minus 26 in the game. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that game, because if not for you, maybe that core gets broken up earlier and the Raptors never get Kawhi Leonard. So Goran, I appreciate that. I also appreciate the starting role that you took from Gary Trent Jr. at the beginning of the year, and you know, walking up in transition, how he would just walk the ball up and force the Raptors to operate in half court. I appreciated all of it, Goran Dragic. Thank you so much. Enjoy your time in Texas.
Yeah, have fun on a losing
Do the Mavs even have a better record than the Raptors? Let's find this out. The Mavs' record right now is 32-23. The Raptors' record is 30-23. Okay,
so they're right under them.
Where it's right there. It's right there.
Yeah.
All right. Once Goran gets there, the Raptors will have a better record.
We'll see how he fixes the team or whatever he thinks he's going to do on the Mavs. Have fun. That's all I can say. Have fun.
I love it. Yeah, so that's it for me. I don't think there's anything really with Goran already. You know, he tweeted it out, Thad Young put We the North in his bio. So he's already a better Raptor than Goran Dragic ever was.
Can I quickly say that Raptors fans are incredibly easy? Can y'all like ease into it a little bit? Just, you know, just let the player prove themselves a little bit before you just, you know.
No standards.
Just open it up for him or open it up for the, like, come on, guys. Just a little bit of an acknowledgement, a hashtag, and y'all talking about you love
it. You don't even need to buy anyone a drink. It's easy. Okay, so I was with you. Initially, I was kind of confused with the Thad Young deal because talking to Spurs people, like fans and writers, and like looking up what he's done this season, I always forget that he is a Spur. Like, right. Anytime I watch the Spurs, he is not on the court. He right. gets DNP CDs as much as Goran Dragic has DNP CDs. And it seemed very much like Spurs fans wanted him off the team. They were talking about buying him out. And I was just like, we gave him a pick? Like, I get we moved 10 spots back. Like, maybe, like, let's not give up a pick, but you maybe moved 10 to 15 spots back for this? Yeah. I was kind of confused on it. And the more that I've sort of sat with it, the more that I've, like, talk to people, I'm kind of coming around on it as well. And I think a little bit of my fear was Goran, when he came to the Raptors a year ago, a year before he got to the Raptors, he was an integral part to a finals team, right?
Yeah.
And part of that was his ability to go downhill. Like he could actually do that. He could finish very well. And watching him with the Raptors, I'm like, this is a 90-year-old man. He cannot do this. And it was just a year removed. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Guys in their 30s, they hit a cliff and sometimes they just fall right off. And that's just what happens.
Right.
And so I'm like, is that not bad? Like, I like that in the past. He's been a role player that the Raptors have tried to go after for years and years and years. I feel like they're always the same names that Raptors are after. And he's very much a Raptors type player. But I just thought maybe he's just washed. Maybe it's just he's over 30. Maybe he just hit that year and has fallen off. But it kind of doesn't feel like that anymore. Just in talking to people, doesn't seem like that's the case. So I'm gonna temper my expectations a little bit, but I do want to say it seems as though it was just a bad fit in San Antonio and not so much that he just can't do it anymore. And so what the Raptors really get in Thaddeus Young is a power forward that they already have. He's a good defender. He's switchable, so he'll really fit into what Nick Nurse wants to do. And I think especially when you're making a midseason deal, yes, we all kind of want young guys who can fit in with the team, someone who can grow, not someone who's over 30. But it's really hard to slot that guy in the middle of the season.
Right.
Like part of what made the Marc Gasol fit seamless is that Mark is a veteran. Also, Mark is just a genius. But Mark is a veteran, and I think fitting in vets – and, you know, the Raptors did it with PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka. These are vets that you just sort of slot in. And that's what that is. He's a good locker room presence. he's I think the oldest, definitely the oldest person on the team, because there's no one else over 30. So he's the oldest person on the team. He's a veteran. He's done it. He's been there before. He's also someone that Nick Nurse is going to trust because he is switchable on defense. He is a good defender. And also he is the reigning NBA Hustle Award winner.
Perfect.
The reigning, and like, and this is the award that, like, this is an award that Amir Johnson has won in the past, right? Like, you know, the, and it's very much that sort of gritty. It's an award that's given to guys who do things that don't show up on the box score, the box sheet.
Right.
I don't know words, but it's things like, you know, going after loose balls, getting deflections, contesting shots, boxing out, drawing charges. And he actually like led the league per minute, so he didn't actually lead the league in charges, but on a per minute basis, he just didn't play enough minutes, he was leading the league in charges drawn and screen assists and things like that. So he is a very active guy when he's on the court, and that's kind of what the Raptors need. They need more energy, and they need a guy who's going to be able to slot in, and you're not going to see a huge dip when Pascal Siakam gets in foul trouble like he did tonight and fouls out. Or OG Anunoby, has that happen? Or one of these guys are sort of out for injuries or different things like that. You can kind of slot him in, and you know that he's not going to make any mistakes, and you know that it's, the drop-off is not going to be substantial. And I think that that's, there's a benefit in that.
Yeah, no, I agree. One thing that we're going to notice probably is the pick and roll passing. Assuming that he develops chemistry with Pascal, that's going to be interesting to see. His passing and transition is going to be needed, for sure. His shooting is down, but I do think that he's going to get an opportunity off the bench. He's an efficient finisher. So, you know, there's a lot of, and again, like you said, defensively, he's solid. So, like, he is, in terms of a Raptors player, exactly what the Raptors want in a player. It's unfortunate that he's 33 and not 23. We would be looking at this trade probably a little differently.
But this,
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This is a win now move. This tells this me the Raptors now. Are looking to win.
And I think if you're a Raptors fan, I think the fact that Masai has faith in his core, in the OG, Pascal, Fred, Gary, and Scotty core, should give you some, a little bit of like, okay.
Optimism?
Relief, confidence. Mm. This team is good enough that, you know, he doesn't necessarily think he needs a big accusation to make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, you need somebody off the bench who's going to actually do something. We know Thad can do that, and he's going to get the opportunity to do that. And I'm now a little bit excited just to see what that's going to look like and how it's going to free up someone like a Pascal or a Fred, especially in the pick and roll. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how that works.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how much they sort of use him. I'm interested. The Raptors are not like a pick and roll heavy team, and I don't even know, like, I haven't looked up what his numbers are in that aspect as well, but I guess he could be someone who's a good finisher. I'm interested. He's also a great offensive rebounder. Like, and you also, you, I mean, you mentioned his, like, his passing ability and what the, like, he had a career high in assists just a year ago. Yeah. And was someone who was, like, racking up near triple doubles on a regular basis coming off the bench. Like, he is someone who I think can be incredibly productive for this team. I don't think he's going to be, like, a star or take any sort of role. You have your starting five. He just kind of slots in with the bench. And it'll be interesting to see what sort of hybrid lineups the Raptors have to sort of throw out there, because I don't know how you put out I don't know how you just sort of put out your bench. Like, you know, Nick Nurse kind of sometimes likes that sort of hockey lineup where he puts in the five bench guys. I'm interested to see how it kind of works, because, like, do you let Scotty go out there and kind of run loose as your playmaker and it's sort of point Scotty time? Do you give Gary sort of the bench run? And not just saying coming off the bench, but, like, do you allow those guys to really shine? Is it those minutes? Like, how does it work? Because, like, can you truly, truly, and I'm just sort of asking these questions out loud, because Thaddeus Young, you mentioned it, he can kind of shoot. We saw it in years past in his time with Chicago, but he's not a shooter. He's taken five threes all season and has made zero.
Right.
So he doesn't take them. He doesn't make them on a consistent basis. I think he's going to be forced to take some, just like Kev Birch was when he came here, or Scotty Barnes or Pascal Siakam. Like, the Raptors kind of have to force these guys into taking some just to keep the defense honest.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to get into, like, how this fits and what Nick Nurse lineups are, because they really just have five power forwards.
Literally.
It's literally just five power forwards off the bench. How, like, Utah, like, do they have another guard besides Gary and Fred? I don't think they have another guard.
No, they don't.
It'll be really interesting to see what these lineups look like. The Raptors just got weirder. They just got weirder. That's it. Like, they got weirder at the trade deadline. They went out and got already what they had at home. And I'm all for it. I love this team. I wrote about it early in the year. This is the future of basketball, and it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fun team. This is a fun team, and I like that they kind of put all their chips in. They're just like, we're going for it.
All in.
Like, all in. All in. Yeah. So we're in for an interesting ride in the playoffs. I'm very interested to see what this is going to look like. But yeah, no, it just, the faith that Masai obviously has in the core makes me very confident that this team is going to make some noise.
Yeah. And so, okay. So something that a lot of people were sort of on about that I just want to get off my chest is the Kyle Lowry deal. Okay.
Yeah.
So we are not a year removed from the trade deadline, because last year's trade deadline, of course, happened on Kyle's birthday in March, but still. When you don't trade, and I'm just speaking into the ether, when you do not trade Kyle Lowry at the deadline, you are deciding, okay, we are letting him walk.
Yeah.
That's the decision that is made. And that, I think that's a fine one. I think it's a fair one to say, we're going to do right by Kyle. You know, we didn't do right by DeMar DeRozan. We're going to do right by Kyle. Yeah. Like, and if that's the decision that you make at the deadline and you're not taking whatever is being offered, and who knows what's being offered, but if you're not taking that and you're letting him walk, you are deciding that you are fine risking him leaving for nothing. Doesn't guarantee that he's going to leave for nothing, but you are fine doing that. And when you trade him to the Miami Heat, which, I mean, they literally are charged with tampering violations. This is a team that we know he wanted to go to. We know they wanted him. We know that they conspired before he even got to free agency. So when you as the Raptors decide that you want to do right by him and you're okay with that, then you're also okay getting nothing back. So this idea that Masai Ujiri lost the trade, or the Raptors lost the trade, which I see Heat fans keep tweeting.
Yeah.
No. They did Kyle Lowry a favor, and you can be upset that they did Kyle Lowry a favor. You could say that's not the way that management is supposed to handle players who are assets technically. And you could have fault with that. That's fine. But the idea that he lost a trade is just not correct. He just did Kyle a favor and ended up with Precious Achiuwa and now Thaddeus Young.
Yeah. I think when it comes to the Raptors side, because I've seen a lot of Raptors fans say the same thing, I think we have this idea now that whenever Masai makes a trade, he has to be the winner of said trade. And so to see that we essentially have gotten a project in Precious and then Thad, who's likely going to just be a short-term kind of fix, just feels like a loss, right? But I always say this, you just never know how these things are going to work out, you know?
I think that's fair, but then also you didn't want to do Kyle the favor, right? Like then the issue is right. Less that Masai Ujiri lost the trade, and the issue is more, why are we doing what Kyle wanted of us? Why didn't we just trade him to get the most back?
Right.
And that's not what the Raptors wanted to do. They decided that that's not the route that they wanted to go to. They didn't want to take the best offer that was out there. They wanted to do right by Kyle, and doing right by Kyle meant Miami. And if Miami knew that they could get him in the offseason and they didn't have to give up anything to do it, they just had to clear up gap room. Like, right. Why would they be giving up more than they could have just signed him? He was a free agent, literal right. Free agent, and could have gone anywhere. So yeah. If you don't make the deal at the deadline, then you're fine letting him walk. So I don't treat, like, sign in trades and trades should not be treated as the same.
Right.
They should be treated as like two different things.
Yeah.
Especially when you're just doing right by Kyle, and Kyle's saying, oh, I'm just going to not leave. Like LeBron did it when he left for Miami. Chris Bosh did it when he left for Miami. All they're saying is, I'm not going to leave and leave you with nothing. So right. At least get a little bit back for me,
right.
Which is what Kyle did, which is a favor to the Toronto Raptors. And that's exactly what DeMar DeRozan did with the San Antonio Spurs. And just to bring all of it full circle, DeMar DeRozan signed and traded from the Spurs to the Bulls for Thaddeus Young. Goran Dragic was the return from the Kyle Lowry sign and trade to the Miami Heat. And now Goran Dragic and Thad Young were just traded for each other. So that's some nice Kyle and DeMar action right there.
They're always kind of
rolling
around each other.
It worked out perfectly. I like that.
That's cute. Besties forever, whatever.
Basically.
You make a good point. I think we do need to start seeing that Kyle trade a little differently. We did Kyle a favor. He's going to come back as a Raptor and finish off his career here. You don't want to have bad blood. You don't want to send him to God knows where just so you can get a good player back. It's Kyle, right?
And you already did that. Like, Masai did that already, and that went over pretty poorly, even though they won a championship.
I mean, like, they're still talking about it, like, 3 years later, right? Like, DeMar's clearly still upset about it. The conversation still comes up. So I don't think if you have the greatest Raptor of all time, you do not treat him the way that DeMar was treated. You just don't, right? You take your L, like, yeah, you're not going to get back what you could have gotten back for him, but that's something that you're willing to deal with because he's a cornerstone of your franchise.
And, right.
And that's it.
So I know I was just getting really frustrated with that, but like, I think my thing is just like, did you want him to leave for nothing? Because that's the alternative if you're making a deal on July 1st. It's he leaves for nothing or you get a smidgen of something back. Yeah. And the Raptors got a smidgen of something back, which is better than him leaving for nothing, but nowhere comparable to like a trade that happens midseason or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's just my beef and my bones with that. But that's not the only trade that happened. In fact, today was so busy. This feels like one of the busier trade deadlines in recent memory, which, you know, I guess makes sense considering it's wide open, the league right now, and everyone feels like they have a shot at it. And also teams were, I think, reluctant to make trades during the pandemic. Not that the pandemic is over right now, but at least in America, things are sort of returning back to normal. They don't know that a pandemic's happening. So it felt like this was sort of a busier trade deadline.
Yeah.
And the blockbuster deal, the deal that everybody is talking about, James Harden, Ben Simmons, what are your thoughts?
Daryl Morey won. He won. I mean, it works for both sides, certainly. But, like, I'm just happy that Joel Embiid's you know, this fantastic MVP level year isn't being wasted. You know, we know Joel is injury prone. we know he, you know, he don't be taking care of his body. We don't know how many more years he has at this elite level. You don't want to waste any years that Joel Embiid can dominate. And having Harden next to him is, that's a scary duo, man. Like, he's played next to a point guard that was not a point guard, could not make a single shot. And now he has James Harden, who's probably going to be a little bit more motivated. So it's Daryl Morey, man. I'm so mad that he ended up getting what he wanted and more, and keeping like Maxey. And
yeah, he didn't have to get Maxey.
Like, oh, geez.
But the Brooklyn Nets, I thought, made out pretty well too with getting Seth Curry, Ben Simmons, and some draft picks that they're already looking to shop. Which is crazy. But it sucks for them because looking back at it, it's like, think about how many things they've given up. Jared Allen and Caris LeVert and all of these guys to get James Harden, and that just did not last at all. I've kind of been on the Morey side of this entire time, so I'm happy for him because, you know, as a Raptor fan, I've been scarred watching a player demand a trade out and watching the front office acquiesce and then make a bad move, right? Like, that's what the Raptors did with Vince Carter, and the effects of the Vince Carter trade stayed for until Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, really. Like, it was bad for that long. So I'm all for just, like, don't make a bad trade because it could really, like, hamper your team for a very long time. And the Sixers had a different scenario with James Harden. I mean, with James Harden, with Joel Embiid, which is something the Raptors didn't have, right? Like, they didn't have a superstar, like you said, who knows how long his prime is going to last. They didn't have that guy. Yeah. So, like, it was a little bit easier for them. Instead, they had Chris Bosh, who was a rookie or second year or something like that. So it was a little bit easier to say, you know what, we have a future of our team right here and we can grow and build with him. So I've been on Morey's side just because, like, I think that you should hold out. And it was so crazy because it was like, okay, well, Dame kind of wants out and the Blazers are blowing things up. And then Beal, and then unfortunately Beal had his surgery on his wrist. So he was kind of out of the picture. But for a while, it seemed like, could that be someone that they get? And then, of course, the James Harden story broke out. And we know Daryl and James, match made in heaven, twin flames, soulmates. And they're back together again. That'll be really interesting. I'm so excited to see the second half of the season. I'm excited to see Ben Simmons back on the basketball court. I'm excited to see how James Harden and that sort of interesting fit with Joel Embiid. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too, because with Harden, who, you know, he demands the ball as well, how they balance that out. I mean, I know he's been struggling this season. His numbers aren't nearly where they were before, but I wonder what happens with that dynamic. You know, Harden's an underrated passer. You know, he can kind of, you know, pass it in, let him be, go hard in the paint. But I just wonder how they're going to figure out that chemistry.
They're
just
sort of because synergy together,
See Harden demanding the ball quite a bit. He doesn't really do catch and shoot threes, really. Like, he, you know, wants to dribble it, do his thing, throw it up. So I don't know how that works with Embiid. I'm very interested to see how they build chemistry and if either of them are going to be like, you know what, I'll be your dude and hang back and let you rock. If they're gonna, you know, trade games every so often, be the number one option when you need it. Like, how is that going to work? So I'm very curious to see how they play off each other.
You mentioned the sort of fit on the court. I'm kind of interested in it off the court a little bit too, because Joel Embiid is the franchise player in Philadelphia. He is Philadelphia. He is their MVP. He is, you know, arguably the MVP. Not my MVP, I think, is Nikola Jokic, but some people's MVP. And James Harden, I think, very much probably believes he's that for Daryl Morey. So does he feel like he maybe has some muscle and some pull behind the scenes? Is there going to be a little bit of fighting for attention behind there? Especially when it comes to like maybe off-season moves, maybe like this season, like, I don't know. I'm interested to see how that sort of dynamic plays, because Philly is James Harden's, or sorry, Joel Embiid's town. And
it's his turf, yeah.
It'll be interesting.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that aspect of it. But that could be the most interesting part of having them play on the same team. They're both two very big personalities.
Also, Joel Embiid's tweets, amazing.
A1.
Amazing. Amazing.
He's spectacular.
So good.
I love him. I would give everybody on the team to have Joel Embiid on my team. Just for the dramatics, because he would be like the perfect Raptor.
And also, I have to say, the All-Star reserves, like picking them today was really funny. How James Harden went last. Oh my gosh, you have to watch it. James, I just ruined it for you, but it was good. It was good. It was good times.
Okay, so I heard that Fred was picked last.
Fred was not picked last. Fred was picked third last.
Okay, so he's not the fat kid in gym class.
No, James Harden was picked last.
Oh.
Because it was between KD and LeBron picking it, and KD was refusing to pick James Harden, and like Chuck was telling LeBron, don't pick James Harden, make it hard on him. Like, so
that's cute.
So James Harden was picked last.
That's cute.
Yeah, they were making jokes, and we're not dancing around it at all.
That's interesting. That must have been so awkward. Like,
yeah, Kevin Durant was just laughing it off. He was trying to keep a straight face, but he couldn't keep it for too long. Thank you so much, Sandy, for joining me today for an episode of Friday Views. Love to have you back on soon.
Of course. Of course. If, you know, Yahoo likes me. I'll be back.
We're going to bring you back. Of course. What is this? And thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode. I'm so excited to see what Danielle looks like on this Raptors team.
Yeah.
And what the East shapes up like, because it's interesting out here. Mm-hmm. All right. Peace out, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.